my happy home to see what I could find out. I left my folk and friends with the aim to clear my mind out. Hit the rowdy road, many kinds I met there, many stories told me all of the way to get there. Ooh. So on and on I go, the seconds tick the time out, there's so much left to know when I'm on.
Welcome to Unspun, an experiment in truth-telling. I'm your host, Doug Bennett. Unspun tries to unravel the hype and illusions of corporate media through in-depth interviews with truth-tellers, activists, and advocates from around the world. Unspun is a call-in show. We invite your questions and comments from our listeners. Our number in the studio is 530-337-1885, 530-337-1885. We are now streaming live on the internet. Go to KKRN and click on the Listen button. Unspun is also broadcast twice a week now, Saturday at 9 a.m. and repeated Wednesday at 4 p.m. Today, our guest on the phone is Greg Pallas. Greg Pallas is an internationally known investigative reporter for The Guardian, The Nation, and the BBC, among others, and the author of several New York Times and international bestsellers, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and Our Madhouse, also Vulture's Picnic, and Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. He has done many exposés, among them the purging of thousands of African Americans from Florida's voter rolls in 2000 by Catherine Harris. He is also the recipient of the George Orwell Courage and Journalism Prize for his BBC television documentary called Bush Family Fortunes. You can go to gregpallas.com for his latest articles and books. He also has a weekly podcast now called the Election Protection Bulletin that airs weekly. And you can follow him on his Facebook page also, and go to Facebook, and it's Greg Pallas Investigates. Well, let's welcome Greg Pallas. Greg, welcome to Unspun, an experiment in truth-telling. Are you there, Greg?
Hey, Doug. Glad to be with you again.
Greg,
yes, are you having trouble hearing me?
No, I'm fine. Can you hear
okay,
me all right?
Good.
Okay, you're kind of...
Yeah, I can hear you all right, and you're looking really good today for radio.
Yeah, I have a great radio presence, a face made for radio, actually. So, I've been enjoying your podcasts and your articles. It's you've been chasing ballot bandits now for 15 years, and I first became aware of you in like 2001, I think, when you wrote the expose about Florida's presidential election and basically the stolen presidency. And here we are, 2016. What's going on?
They're stealing the presidency again.
Oh God, not again!
Both parties. I'm kind of getting tired of this vote theft beat. You know, those who remember my earlier work who know Greg Pallas. Most Americans know me as the guy who uncovered how Catherine Harris knocked off thousands of black voters off the voter rolls in 2000, and that made George W. president by 537 votes. Once you have wiped out tens of thousands of black folk off the voter rolls, so that was the presidency. And every 4 years there's a new game, and this year is no exception. In fact, I'm making a movie, which is an update of The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and they're reporting on it for Rolling Stone. So it's they're back. with those games, and it's not that I'm favoring one candidate over the other, because I don't think they favor me, but I do think all the votes ought to be counted.
Well, that would be close to the Democratic ideal, but we have a lot of people working against that, as you point out. a lot of these since the Voting Rights Act was basically neutered by the Supreme Court. You know, what's been going on? Because I know a lot of voters, even in these primaries, seem to be having problems casting their votes.
Well, that's right. And I'm going to use that term, neutered. In 2013, the Supreme Court cut the cojones out of the Voting Rights Act, and making the strange statement that official racism has been eradicated, which is weird because the case was Shelby versus Holder, and even Judge Kennedy, who signed that opinion that official racism it doesn't exist anymore, said, well, in the case of Shelby, it's not true. They are racist. But so I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, the exact case, anyway, it doesn't matter, but this is politics of the ugliest order. But now the question is, what does that mean? Just so people understand what the Voting Rights Act had in it, it required that 13 states, and that included, by the way, deep South states like New York, Alaska, Arizona, New Mexico, were required when they made changes to voting procedures of any type to just get approval from the Justice Department to make sure that it wasn't some type of Jim Crow tactic or Jose Crow tactic. And so that's gone. So these guys are now going nuts trying to figure out ways to flush out voters of color, students, etc. The new group that they're going after is Asian Americans, who vote 75% Democratic. So it's not a bunch of rednecks who don't like black folk. It's not Jim Crow. It's Dr. James Crow, systems analyst, figuring out how to jack you out of your vote, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, well, I like you got all those new names that are ethnically relevant. But I looking at all this, and I've watched it along with you over the years, it seems to be a constant attack by the oligarchs, by the elite, no matter what party you're in now. A lot of people are losing faith in the two-party system.
I don't know why anyone ever had faith in the two-party system, but it's okay. It's the system that we have. So what I want to do at least is make sure that whatever votes are cast are counted, or that people get a chance to vote. And you do see a bit of obviously in this primary we've seen some pretty ugly stuff. It's interesting that in New York, for example, that 126,000 voters lost their registration. And it happened to be in Brooklyn, which is called Kings County. And Kings County was one of the areas under the Voting Rights Act. One of the Kings County, New York, which is Brooklyn, was under the Voting Rights Act to require voter roll changes to be approved by the Justice Department. And with the end of the Voting Rights Act, the Brooklyn Kings County Democratic machine was able to wipe out 126,000 voters. That could not have happened under the Voting Rights Act because Brooklyn is required to, because of a long history of stopping Hispanic voters who've come in from Puerto Rico from voting. And that's, one of the issues. You have this stuff in all states. And in Nevada, we just saw how at the Democratic capital D Democratic Convention, there was no little d democracy. There was this supposed Bernie Sanders riot. So these are a bunch of hippies, basically, that it supposedly went wild and hurling death threats and chairs and stuff. But the American media didn't cover why people were upset. And the reason people were upset is that is that 60 Sanders delegates, again, had their registrations switched from Democrat to Republican, of all things, and so were disqualified. Someone switched these people's registrations, or the party claimed that their registration was switched to Republican. You're talking about lifelong Democrats, county leaders, people who had been elected in their local areas, in their local Democratic Party caucuses. So then they had a voice vote, and the chairwoman of the Democratic Party simply said, "Okay, the all the Clinton delegates win, all the Sanders delegates lose, dismissed, adjourned, we're out of here. And, you know, so then they want to turn around, they say, well, what we need is party unity. Now, just so you know, Doug, I am not, I have not endorsed Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or the Donald or anyone else. I'm a journalist. I stay really very much out of the partisan side of these things. I'm just trying to get the votes counted. And also tell the truth on whatever other shenanigans are going on. But I think people need to know what's happening when you do have the arrogance of the party establishments, Trump had enough billions and media hype to overcome his party establishment. And, Sanders got more votes than Trump, yet he got literally less than 1% of Trump's publicity. It's insane. And he got more votes. You add up the votes, Sanders got more votes than Trump. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's interesting. The mainstream media seems to become more and more politicized. That's what I observe, showing favoritism in one way or the other, whether it's a number of minutes that coverage or simply articles in the New York Times, whatever. It seems to be pretty much skewed to the people in power. I would call them the political elite. I think you call them that too. Why do they have this kind of power, and why are we allowing this? Or is this all a result of Citizens United?
Well, I think Citizens United, there's a few things. This has been going on. I mean, obviously, elites have had a lot of control over the American political system for a long time. It's always been a war. It's always been, America has always been, we've always had class war through the political system. And sometimes the people win. They can't steal all the votes all the time, as Abraham Lincoln nearly said. But it's... So, for example, you talk about the New York Times. You've got the Sulzberger family, and the real owner of the New York Times is Carlos Slim, who is, by some accounts, the richest man in the world. He may have more money than Bill Gates. He is a right-wing, nasty Mexican media mogul, and he's the actual owner of the New York Times these days. And so he has to support people like Hillary Clinton, a Naftaista, and that's very, very important. So, for example, the front page of the New York Times, and I'm going to pick on the New York Times because they're one of the best papers in America. It's easy to pick on Fox News or something, but let's go after the Times here. They ran a front page story saying liberal economists say Sanders numbers on the economy don't add up. That's a headline for the New York Times. It's an attack on Sanders masquerading as an article. Now, who are the liberal economists? They pick out a guy named Goolsbee, who's teaching at the University of Chicago, which is the most right-wing economic school in the entire nation by far. He's an ultra-right economist who did no analysis of the Sanders economic program. No analysis. He's just talking off the top of his head. And they completely ignored the fact that there was a detailed study, line by line, of the Sanders campaign positions on the economy done at Amherst at the University of Massachusetts, which found that Sanders program would have would stimulate the economy. And there's a reason why it would stimulate the economy is that it looks an awful lot. The Sanders program is pretty much a repetition of the Obama stimulus program. So on one hand, Hillary and Bill Clinton run around saying that Obama is like Jesus on a pogo stick because he saved America with his wonderful economic plan. Sanders' economic plan is a repeat of Obama's first term, and somehow that's crazy, impractical, illogical, and the numbers don't add up. But this is how the media plays it. I'm not saying that Sanders is better or worse. I'm just saying that they're not even looking at his plan. And, this is one of the issues. The only time he gets publicity is to poop on his proposals. And instead they are following, it's become the Donald Trump show but there's really not even an analysis of what Trump is saying or doing. So even in some ways, actually, even while Trump's got away with murder, they aren't really listening to what he's saying anyway. So he understands the media is all about the circus. So there you go.
Well, let me remind our listeners
what do you
at this
think?
Point.
Are you giving Bernie a fair
yeah, let's.
Time?
Yeah. Well, that went out the window thanks to Ronald Reagan. But let me remind our listeners, you're listening to Unspun, an experiment in truth-telling. We have Greg Palast, renowned investigative journalist and international best-selling author, on air with us. We're talking about election fraud, party politics during this election year 2016. This is your opportunity to call in and ask questions and share your thoughts. You can call in and ask Greg whatever you'd like. I'm not guaranteeing he'll answer, but call in 530-337-1885, 530-337-1885. Yeah, I think so many people are so easily led. Most people get their news on the TV late at night after they've gone to school or go to work. They don't take the time to do in-depth investigating like you do. They're confused because they see Bernie Sanders winning, 7 out of 10 primaries, and people keep saying he doesn't have enough delegates, and then they go, oh, well, the super delegates are going to put Hillary in, so Bernie go away. And so I see this, even MSNBC, which is tagged as being liberal, they say some of these same things. So maybe you could explain to people. A lot of people don't understand.
Well, actually, they've changed their name.
I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the line.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What's the line? They changed their name, MSNBC.
No, I was just going to say, MSNBC, they've changed it into MSDNC.
So, yeah, that's good. I like that.
I have to repeat the joke so I can get the laugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to. Yeah, I could have played the straight guy a little better.
For a reporter. I'm not John Stewart, okay? I'm not John Stewart. I like superdelegates. They show up at the convention. They wear these, capes, red capes and, blue leotards and stuff with a big S on their chest. Isn't that the superdelegates? No?
I don't
super,
think
I
so.
What's so super about them? I want to know, what's so super? Can I tell you something? My sister was a superdelegate. I've never seen her fly. I've never seen her lift, go faster than a speeding bullet and lift a locomotive in the air. And I'm not sure why she's super and I'm just a schmo.
She must be closer.
Like the rest of us who just cast ballots, you can't even, it's terrible. The rest of us actually, have to, cast a ballot and stuff. But the superdelegates, they just fly in with their superpowers and they tell us who the nominee is. I like that.
Well, they make they make up a quarter of the delegates, right? They make up a quarter of the delegates to the convention.
They have a bigger effect than even a. Yeah, they have a bigger effect than people understand. It's more than a quarter, because if for example, Sanders donations are dropping, big funders know, and people know that because of superdelegates, unless something changes, Sanders doesn't stand a chance. So people give up and go away. In other words, so it discourages someone from even attempting or being taken seriously, because they keep saying, well, if you count on the superdelegates, Sanders is 12 million votes away from the nomination. Forget it. He's dead meat. So before he even declares, from the day he declared, he was already 400 delegates down and no one had cast a vote. He's 400 delegates down the day he declared, and they didn't have a single primary yet. It's like, huh? Okay, so this is the Democratic Party, right? The Republicans are looking longingly at that. But the big thing to look for right now, though, is that's being lost in a lot of the back and forth, is the real battle this year is over control of the United States Senate. And I fear that there's going to be massive, massive theft by the billionaire class Now, of course, some billionaires are supporting Hillary Clinton. I don't know any billionaires supporting Sanders, but let's assume it's Clinton. But I've been tracking a lot of, in my book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, I've been tracking the big money behind fixing the Senate races. Now, that's very, very important to understand. The Republicans, if you have a Democratic president, the Republicans will lose control if four seats flip to the Democrats, which is very, very possible. So the Republicans, if you look at the demographics of the United States today, if every eligible voter gets to cast a vote, there just aren't enough white guys to elect Trump or the Senate Republicans. They would get wiped out. So they have to come up with ways to get rid of the non-white guy vote, and that's what I've been working on this year, this my investigations.
Well, I think I was.
What do you think of that?
Well, I want to look into that because apparently there's something going on in some of the southern states, and I think your podcast mentioned a man called Korbach. Is that right? Do I have his name right?
Korbach. Yeah.
Korbach. Yeah, mm-hmm. And maybe you could tell
our
listeners about him.
Chris Korbach. Okay, Chris Korbach, which I doubt many of you have heard of, because he's the Secretary of State of Kansas, you know, where Dorothy and Toto come from, and the Wizard of Oz. He is the Wizard of Crosscheck. He is the most important Republican Secretary of State in America. America's unusual, which, the only thing, we're kind of a bit like Putin's Russia, which is we have elections officials, Secretaries of State, who are extremely highly partisan actors who set the terms of voting. Chris Korbach runs the vote in Kansas. Most important is that he's influencing how all the other Republican Secretaries of State are handling the election. So he's come up with some brilliant ideas. Now, by the way, he's the guy, Chris Korbach, who advised Trump on how to make the Mexicans pay for their wall. And I thought, I came up with a cheaper solution myself, which is just build a wall around Donald Trump and make him pay for it. You know, that would be the alternative.
I'm not sure.
Then we'd all be safe. And so Korbach, who is Trump's man in Kansas, has come up with several things. One is he's the guy who wrote a law called SB 1070 for Arizona. Even though he's the Kansas Secretary of State, he wrote the law for Arizona, which is called the driving while, known as the driving while Brown law, which says that cops can stop people on suspicion that they're illegal immigrants. Now, how do they know, looking through a window of a car, someone is a suspect illegal immigrant? Because they're white and they're driving a Mercedes? That's always a giveaway. Obviously an Austrian illegal immigrant. Or do you think that they stop people of darker color skin in cheap cars? I'll give you a choice. According to the Justice Department, it's just racism masquerading as a law. So it's a Jose Crow law. But he wrote that law, and then he's been pushing this idea that you should prove your citizenship in order to vote. Now, that sounds reasonable, like only U.S. citizens should vote in U.S. elections. However, go ahead, prove you're a citizen, buddy. We are not the Soviet Union or China, where you have a citizenship card. We don't have citizenship cards. Anyone, including a foreign national, like our chief of investigations is from, she's Swiss, and Miss Lenny Badpenny is Swiss. She has a social security number. She has a driver's license. Those aren't proofs of citizenship. The only proof of citizenship is our naturalization papers, your original birth certificate, and a passport. Now, how many Chicanos in California or throughout the West have passports, which, you know, from their last trip vacation in the Alps? Not many. Only about less than 1 in 10 Americans have a passport, and they tend to be the whitish, richest Americans have passports. Most of us don't. Now, therefore, most of us have a heck of a time proving we are citizens. this has had the interesting effect not only of knocking out poor people who don't have the papers to somehow prove they're citizens, it's knocked out young voters. In Kansas alone, 36,000 voters had their registration suspended, almost every one of them, someone under 30 years of age, because they had not provided papers showing that they were citizens. Most kids who are attending college don't know where their original birth certificate is, and sure as heck don't want to, like, say, mail it into the state hoping it will come back. You can't get copies of that, you know. So it's basically frozen new registrations in case in states like Kansas, Alabama, and Mississippi, which are the three wonderful pro-civil rights states. Now, once again, this is an effect of the end of the Voting Rights Act. Because if the Voting Rights Act were in place, Mississippi and Alabama could not demand citizenship proof because they have a lot of poor people born at home who don't even have birth certificates, etc. You know, America has gone for a century with American citizens saying, I'm an American. You check a box on every registration form saying, I am a U.S. citizen eligible to vote. If that's a lie, you go to prison. And we are finding basically no one, virtually no one, from another country. If you're an illegal immigrant, you sure as heck ain't going to vote in our elections because you're giving away your name and address. How many people hiding from the authorities are showing up to vote? In Florida, the Republican governor of Florida, Rick Scott, accused 181,000 people, almost all of them Puerto Ricans, of not being citizens, okay? Puerto Ricans are American citizens. They moved to Florida. They have the right to vote. They accused 181,000 people of being non-citizens. They found only one, an Austrian who was registered as a Republican. That's the only one that they actually found and convicted, an Austrian registered as a Republican, one. And they accused 181,000 people of being illegal alien voters, and therefore they were subject to losing their vote.
We have the bottom of the hour coming up.
No, go right ahead.
Okay, I have to make a couple of community announcements here. And also to remind people, the last day to register in Shasta County or to change your party affiliations is May 23rd. That's Monday. So over the weekend, you may not be able to do much. Maybe online, you can go online. I think we want to be get as many people out to vote as possible, especially minorities and poor people and all these people that are seeming to be blocked, as Greg points out. But you can go to elections.co.shasta.ca.us, or you can call 1-800-345-VOTE, 1-800-345-VOTE, and that'll tell you where your polling place is, or if you need to, like Greg was saying, check, make sure you have a registration. So you can do all of that online or call that number and get more information. The other thing I'd like to announce is that the Oak Run Fire Company is having a meeting Saturday, May 21st from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Oak Run Fire Department. And if you're interested in volunteering and being a part of the search and rescue and firefighting here locally, you can go attend that meeting and get involved with those people. They're great people and a necessary part of the community. And one last thing, we have a benefit at the where is it? Should say on here. Great brew, great music. It says a lot of things. Anyway, it's Saturday, May 21st, which is this evening at the California Brewing Company, 9348 Deschutes Road in Redding. So we'll have local artists and songwriters, Pine Dogs Band, Johnson Blythe, and Sammy Joe. More in Love, I think. More's in Love. That's another group. Anyway, 6 to 10:30 tonight at the California Brewing Company on Deschutes Road in Redding. Well, back to our guests. You are listening to Unspun and Experiment Truth Telling, and Greg Pallas is our guest. He's a renowned investigative journalist and international best-selling author. On air with us, I want to encourage you to call in if you have questions about this election or you're confused about the plain old delegates and the plain old voter as compared to the super delegate, or questions like that for Greg, or if you want to know the best way to protect your vote. I don't know where you're listening at, if you're in one of these, states like Arizona or Florida and other places where they seem to be prone to suppressing people's votes, which will eventually is one way to steal the election. So if you have those kind of questions, call in 337-1885, 530-337-1885. Well, where were we, Greg? I got all off track there. I know there's other ballot bandits out there.
By the way, I'm going to give I do want to give people a chance to two things. Yes, please check your registration online. I have something called, in the back of my book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, I have something called 7 Ways to Beat the Ballot Bandits. If you go to gregpallas.com, you can download that for free, 7 Ways to Beat the Ballot Bandits to make sure your vote counts. Number one is re-register and register again and register again. Now you say, okay, I've been registered for years. I've been going to the same polling place for 20 years. I filled out a form, 2 months ago at my school, or I was at the shopping center in Reading. Forget about it, Jack. The people are being flushed off the voter rolls every day, all the time, for all kinds of cockamamie reasons. And especially minority voters. And if you filled out a paper form to vote, or if you got a driver's license and filled out the motor voter form, let me tell you about one guy who just got his California license, filled out the motor voter form, boom, goes and checks online, his name isn't there. That's me, okay? I just found out, I just moved to California from London and New York. I just moved down here. To California, my home state, and got my new license, signed up on the motor voter form, checked my registration last week, and it wasn't there. Okay? So, guys, you fill out that form. That's not a guarantee you're going to be on. So I tell people to register and register and re-register. You do check. I don't care how many years you've been voting. And get that information. If you're not registered in California, I strongly recommend that you re-register online. Re-register online, because that's the only way to pretty much guarantee that it will that you'll get your registration in on time to vote. Also, and here's a weird little aspect of California voting. If you want to vote in the Democratic primary, but right now you are listed as NPP, no party preference, you have to go online or call up and ask for a Democratic Party ballot. If you want to vote in the Republican primary and you're listed as no party preference, you're out of luck, Jack. The Republican Party does not allow independent voters to vote in the Republican primary. The Democrats do, but you have to make a special request for that ballot, either in person, for the Democratic ballot in person, or if you mail in your ballot, you better ask right now for a change. And if you've been sent a ballot that's not, doesn't include the presidential race and your NPP, you may have to send it back. Please contact your local, your county commissioner, or go online. And so, in other words, it's quite a process to vote. Now, and here's a little cute one for you, Doug. When a guy named Brian McPherson, a Republican, was Secretary of State in California, he rejected, are you ready for this, 42% of all printed voter forms, registration forms. 42%, that's almost half of all of the voter forms that were submitted to the state, were rejected on cockamamie grounds. By the way, I know how mine was rejected, because you have to put your zip code in two places, and I only put it in one. And I asked the state, who is getting their registrations rejected? They said, oh, people with strange names like Mohammed, people with hyphenated names, people with accents in their names. Who's that, right? Who's, you know, yeah. Is Garcia Marquez a you know, what type of voter is that? We know what type. So we know who they're knocking out. So don't assume. Don't assume. This is Greg Palast. Go to gregpalast.com, GREGPALAST.com, and download for free 7 ways to beat the ballot bans, including checking your registration right now.
Well, what are the other
announcement from me?
What are the other out of the 7 ways? What are the other ways to ensure your vote gets counted?
Well, here's another one. Okay, here's a very important one. Do not accept a provisional ballot. If you have messed up and forgot to check your registration, you show up and they say your name is no longer here, or you're listed as what's called an inactive voter, they have some reason why you can't vote, okay? They'll say, oh, don't worry, here's a provisional ballot, okay? Provisional ballots are what I call a placebo ballot. They don't count them, my friends. They just a way to get you out the door without you screaming and complaining, thinking you voted. A provisional ballot you fill out on paper, you stick it in an envelope, you sign the outside, and if you are not on the registration rolls and you fill out that provisional ballot, the only thing they can do is confirm that you're not on the registration rolls. It doesn't matter if you were removed unfairly or someone did like the dirty tricks that they did in Nevada of changing your party registration. It doesn't matter. That ballot will not count. So demand that an election judge adjudicate there in the polling station that you have a right to vote. So don't accept the provisional ballot. The other thing is, and I can tell you right now, one of the things I'll be writing about is that some of the trainers for poll workers are telling poll workers that if someone is no party preference, that is, if you're a California independent, if you are really an independent voter and it says NPP, no party preference next to your name, and you ask for a Democratic Party ballot, which you are entitled to, every NPP voter can ask for a Democratic Party ballot. You can't ask for Republican, but you can ask for a Democrat. They were saying, they're telling people to give the NPP voters provisional ballots. No, if you're an NPP voter and you want to vote in the Democratic presidential primary, you have an absolute right to ask for a real ballot, not a provisional ballot. The provisional ballot will not get counted. Don't accept it. It's your absolute legal right. And immediately call. Call the voter protection groups right away. I mean, this is very important. I should have their 800 number. Do not accept a provisional ballot if you're an NPP voter and you say, I want to vote in the Democratic primary. Also, if you want to vote in the Democratic primary, when you show up, you got to say so. You have to actually ask for the ballot. If you don't ask for the ballot, you don't get a ballot that says Sanders, Clinton to choose from. You have to ask for it. Don't assume that the ballot that they hand you has the presidential race on it. It doesn't. You have to ask for it.
Greg,
like a game of Uncle Wiggly.
Yeah, we have a caller, so I'm going to take this caller, okay, Greg, and see what he's got to say or ask. I'm sure he's got a good question for you. Dickie, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hi, Doug.
Hi,
hi Greg. Been a fan of yours for a while. It's great to hear you on KKRN Community Radio. I think you just answered one of my questions. I'm listening on my computer, and it lags the radio a little bit. I was going to ascertain for sure as a non-preference voter that I can ask for a Democratic ballot and expect to get one, and that's what I think you just said, and that I should not accept a provisional ballot. So that was one question I had, was if I show up in person, I can ask
that
for a Democratic Party ballot.
Very important.
Okay. My other question, a little more far-ranging,
that is
perhaps.
Correct.
I read a fascinating article yesterday, though I can't remember where, somewhere online, that was tripping off the point that both Trump and Sanders are by far supported the most by white folks. And it occurred to me that that's kind of an irony, but one of the points he was making was that he could imagine, the writer, could imagine Sanders voters going to Trump as a kind of weird protest. And I just wonder if you've run into anything like that in your travels.
All right. Thanks for the question, Zicky.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. And not.
I'm going to take my answer on the air. So
this is Greg Palast. Thank you. Good question. Okay. I should say a couple things. One is that when I've been in swing states like Ohio, the industrial states, and you have especially industrial workers like the Delphi, auto parts workers, 35,000 union jobs were lost. NAFTA and free trade agreements with China signed by Bill Clinton have been devastating in Indiana, in Ohio, in Missouri, Illinois, Alabama. And what's happened is that when I've been in these states, I'm seeing at union meetings and that especially white voters are going to vote for, they are voting for Sanders in the primary, and they will vote for Trump in the general. Absolutely. The union halls are split between Trump and Sanders. There are no Clinton supporters in some of these areas, in some of these key swing states. It's because of the anger over what happened in these states with these free trade agreements. There is an emotional affection for the Clintons in parts of the black community, for example, because Bill Clinton was kind of raised in the black Baptist church. And so there's a cultural, emotional connection to the Clintons. Ironically, when I spoke at the Congressional Black Caucus in Washington, you don't have to be black to attend the black caucus. And when I spoke about vote suppression issues, there was one single white politician who showed up, Senator Bernie Sanders, and so you know. But why why you have African Americans voting for the Clintons? You see that more in the South than in the North. In the North, it's pretty split, but in the South, there's a great emotional attachment to the Clintons through the church.
Yeah, the
an answer.
Yeah, that's a great answer, and the trade agreements, of course, every one of them, starting with Bill Clinton with NAFTA, and actually a little before that, have certainly hurt this country. So I can understand that, and we have this huge inequality that have built been built over the last dozen years, even more so, income inequality and debt, you know, so much weighing on the average person and the average worker trying to carry a load, insufficient number of jobs to cover the people in the job force. It's a huge number of people that cannot get a job no matter how badly they want one. So I understand that division, and I understand why they would not go for Hillary, because we know who she represents. She represents Wall Street and big banks, and it'd be more the same, pretty much much like the Obama administration. So I understand that split, and people. I don't think a lot of people in the Democratic Party solid Democrats get that. You know, because Trump has taken that position against the trade agreements. Of course, there's no guaranteeing that he'll do anything that he says or means anything that he says. So what's your take on Trump as, a legitimate candidate?
Well, again, I'm not for or against candidates, but I can analyze where they stand. Obviously, Trump has hit a chord with working people over his opposition to what he calls bad trade agreements. Now, he's not against trade agreements. He just considers himself, Mr. Art of the Deal, that he would get better deals. Not that he would end agreements, but he would get better deals. He doesn't say how he'd get better deals, but he's taking that position. So I don't, it's a little bit odd because, he talks about China defeating America in trade, that we lose and they win. But we have to remember, when we talk about our trade deficit with China, it's not really with China. It's with Walmart, which has a contract with 700 factories in China and not one factory in the U.S. 700 Walmart-operated, their controlled factories in China. Now, and all your iPhones are made by Foxconn in China. So what's happened is we don't have a deficit with China, a trade deficit with China. We have a trade deficit with Apple. We have a trade deficit with Walmart. And we have a trade deficit with Volkswagen, which is building their plants in Mexico to import cars into the U.S. through NAFTA, because they can't make them in Germany and import them. They are building in Mexico. So when we talk about Trump going to face the Chinese, he really has to face Walmart. He has to face Apple. He has to face Volkswagen and Chrysler. And is he going to do that? You know, I don't know. You know, there's no history of it. But, you know, he's... And so, you know, the reason why we have bad deals is not because our leaders are in love with the Chinese. They're in love with Walmart. They're in love with for example, J.P. Morgan Chase is in favor of the TPP because it opens up Vietnam, for example, to their banking system, to J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, do we get jobs when J.P. Morgan Chase opens banking branches in Vietnam? No. But in return, they get to U.S. companies in Vietnam, like Nike, will ship products into the U.S. So we lose jobs, they gain profits. It's not trade war, it's still class war. And so I don't know whether Trump has the chops to... Can he bargain against the Chinese? Easily. Can he bargain against Walmart? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, and you're very good at following the money. Is there a particularly egregious money trail that's flooding through this whole election process that we're suffering through?
Absolutely. That's an excellent question, Doug, because, you know, people are getting so distracted by the presidential race. I'm going to go back, this is Greg Palast, go back to what I said at the beginning, that the big race is for control of the Senate. The Koch brothers and Karl Rove and others are not putting their money in the presidential race. That does not mean that they're not putting in their money. The Koch brothers still intend to spend nearly $1 billion this election season to get the Republicans elected to the Senate, which is really up for grabs. Also, Paul the Vulture Singer. Now, you may never have heard of Paul Singer. He's known as the Vulture. But if you go to gregpalast.com and you type in Vulture, you'll get plenty of Paul Singer. He's the number one donor to the Republican Party, not the Kochs. The Kochs don't like the Republican Party. They spend their money independently. But Singer is the Vulture, gives big money to the Republican Party. And why? Because he's in the vulture business. What he does is he attacks corporations, nations, people who are weak, starving, in trouble, and figures out he's like a repo, international repo man. His business is outlawed in many, many nations, and including England, after I did some reports for him throughout the British Commonwealth. This guy is basically an outlaw capitalist. And I will say that both Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have come out in favor of shutting this guy down. So he's willing to raise hundreds of millions of dollars to make sure that neither Clinton or Sanders gets in. But more important to him, because he doesn't like Trump, more important to him is winning those close Senate races in New Hampshire. We have New Hampshire, North Carolina, Ohio, Illinois. That's where these billionaires are putting their money, in those tight races. And that's not good enough. They're using all kinds of vote suppression tactics, some really, really ugly stuff. Some is simple and stupid. For example, most black people in America not in California, but most black people vote in early voting. The vast majority of black folk vote early, which is allowed in almost all states. And so they're eliminating or severely cutting back early voting. That means just not giving black people a chance to vote. Why they vote early? Because they're working at jobs where they're not given any time off to vote. So they vote the Sunday before the election. It's usually called Souls to the Polls Day. So they just simply say, you can't vote on the Sunday before election, which we've allowed for 20 years in America. And so now they're cutting that out. It's a Jim Crow tactic. It's no different than poll taxes or literacy tests. It's just saying, well, since black people vote on Sunday, we're not going to permit it anymore. Boom. That's how they want to win this election, through just stopping people from voting and not trying to win people over. If you want to advertise and win people over, that's fine. But if what you want to do is stop people from actually voting, then count me out. And that's what these guys are up to.
It's a little discouraging, and they were very successful.
And by the way, Doug, yeah. Well, if you want to get the story of these billionaires and how they're jacking with the vote, just pick up a copy of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. You go through gregpalace.com or wherever fine books are sold. But the other, I'll be making a film, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, and we'll have that out by the end of summer, beginning of fall, and it'll have the latest on who these billionaires gone bad are. It'll have the Vulture, it'll have the Kochs, it'll have all the little creeps with wallets bigger than souls.
Also, I know you're doing your podcast, and which is called what, Election Protection, and I wanted to bring that up because that's really a good, like,
Election Protection Bulletin.
Bulletin, yeah, and also
you can get to my podcast, right?
Yeah, I'm going to put links on all of that.
You can get to my podcast at gregpalace.com.
I will put links on our website along with the archives of this show. I'm trying to remember the point I was trying to make. Oh, yeah, that in 2010, those elections, a lot of people wondered what happened at the state level, and what these billionaires did was the same thing, the unlimited money. They went after all the state governments, and I think they took 27 of them or something out of the 50 United States of America in 2010, yes. And then people wondered what happened, because all of a sudden you had these attack on women's rights and all these goofy laws put in place, voter suppression laws, and like you said, SB 1070. And so we know that they're effective in doing that. And what that appears to be able to do, if they can keep the House and the Senate, it doesn't matter. I mean, who's going to be in the White House too much, because they've proven that they are very effective in the Senate at blocking whatever they don't want to go through and pushing whatever they do.
Yes. I mean, what we had, there's two things that will happen. Number one, we saw with the first Clinton presidency that all of Bill Clinton's major legislation, NAFTA, deregulation of the finance industry, the elimination of food stamp rights, and the so-called welfare reform, these types of things were passed with a majority of Republican votes, with most of his own party voting against him. Basically, Bill Clinton's agenda was entirely a Republican agenda. So if you can have a Senate that's Republican, and things, right now there is, as they say, gridlock and deadlock, because Obama, while no extraordinary liberal, does oppose the Republican agenda. Whereas, you'll have one thing we have to consider is that the last Clinton administration was, its entire political agenda was passed over the opposition of most Democratic voters. For example, Bernie Sanders voted against Bill Clinton's welfare reform, which, by the way, his wife did strongly endorse the elimination of food stamps. I was just reading today, they have by law, Bill Clinton prohibited any state, and this affected California severely, California is not allowed under the Clinton law to provide funds, including food, to children after 5 years. And they said, well, this has given people incentive to work, but, you know, I don't know if we want to give 9-year-old kids an incentive to go to work. But that was both Hillary and Bill Clinton, you know, heavily promoted that what is a vicious racist law. And, you know, but that's pretty much not discussed by the media. So I'm glad we have a chance to discuss that now. But you're going to, but that's why they want control of the Senate, the Republicans, mainly to, they're going to, that's, I don't think it'll just be blocking legislation if, I think you're going to see the TPP passed, no matter who's president, I think, unless it's Sanders, because if Hillary was for it for many years and now is against it for a couple months, you know, they'll make a few changes and say, well, now it's just fine. So this is the problem with the Republic, whereas a Democratic Congress, I doubt, would go along with the TPP in any form.
Well, Greg, so, we have so one minute left. So any last words for our listeners or additional advice?
Yeah, go to gregpalace.com. And the reason I say that is download for free the 7 Ways to Beat the Ballot Bandits, because I don't want you to lose your vote. I don't care who you vote for, but I don't want you to lose that vote. That's the most important thing. Also, you can sign up for the Election Protection Podcast. I think I'm going to probably rename it something sexier, like Election Crimes. Either way, you'll get the podcast there with the great Dennis Bernstein of Flashpoints out of San Francisco. And we will, and also the updates of my investigations at gregpalace.com, so that you know, at least, and if your vote does get stolen, at least you'll know who took it and where to look for it. Okay.
All right, Greg. Well, that's our music.
Doug, and I really, really appreciate the work you've been doing.
Oh, and likewise, I'm a fan of yours, have been for a long time, and I want to thank you for being on Unspun and Experiment and Truth-Telling with us this morning. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks a lot, Doug. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, you've been listening to Unspun and Experiment and Truth-Telling. I'm your host, Doug Bennett. You can learn more about Greg Palace's work, his articles, his books, his podcasts, and his coming documentary. Also, you can, and if you really like what he's doing, you can donate there to help get that documentary out into the public sooner. I will also put archives of this show on KKRN with the links to his websites. KKRN is a community radio station mostly funded by listeners and local underwriters like yourselves. You can continue to support the station by going to KKRN and clicking on the donate button. Next week on Unspun, we'll have Kevin Alexander Gray, civil rights organizer and author. One book that he wrote, I don't know, I have the date or year, but it's called The Decline of Black Politics from Malcolm X to Barack Obama, 2008. So tune in next week to listen to Unspun and Experiment Truth-Telling on KKRN.org, 88.5 FM. Thanks for listening.